Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard! Keep your arms and legs on the inside at all times. Hold on tight! The show is about to begin!
Hey everyone, this is Ashley Ross. I am one of the coaching chicks, and today our radio show is all about me. No, really, it's just me doing it. And I am talking to you live. So, what are we covering today? We are going to cover the monster in the room. I say that monster is SEO. You may have heard the term SEO. You know it stands for search engine optimization. You have a vague idea of what that means. Something to do with Google, right? And you've heard that it's important to have it. That sounds like a big, fat, hairy monster for anybody. And even for those of us who are relatively tech-savvy, SEO is still the monster in my bedroom. It has become the all-pervasive thing, the holy grail, if you must, of getting discovered on the internet. So let's talk a little bit about search engine optimization. So basically, the World Wide Web is a network of bus stops, or a network of stops in a big city subway system. So each stop is a unique document, which is usually a web page. But it could be a PDF, it could be a JPEG, or a picture, or some other file. So search engines need a way to crawl the entire city and find all the stops along the way. So they use the best path available, which are links. So a link structure of a web serves to bind all of your pages together. And these links allow these automated robots, which we call crawlers or spiders, to reach many billions of interconnected documents on the web. So that's what makes a search engine able to function and pull up all the amazing websites and information that it does, is the spiders are going out there and they are looking through everything. And I'm not even talking about necessarily websites. Do you have to have a website to worry about SEO? No. If you have a Facebook page, it uses SEO. If you have a whos.com page, it's SEO. If you have a company website and your name's on it, you have to worry about SEO. If you have a picture that you posted from 10 years ago, it's still out there. And guess what? If you put a title on it, it's SEO. Okay? So SEO affects everything that we do that's out there on the internet. All right? So once the search engine finds a page, finds one of these unique documents, they read it, and they select it, and they put it into this massive database, which then comes up later when you run a search query. So to accomplish this monumental task of holding all these billions of pages together, and you want it at a fraction of a second, because God help us if we have to wait 20 seconds to get an answer, the search engine companies have constructed data centers all over the world. So these are huge, monstrous storage facilities which hold thousands of machines processing large quantities of information very quickly. So when you do a search at any of the major search engines, it does not matter if it's Google or if it's Yahoo or MSN or Bing, any of the search engines, they demand results instantaneously. Even a 1 or 2 second delay can cause dissatisfaction. So the engines work very hard to provide answers as fast as possible. And so basically a search engine like Bing, like Google, like Yahoo, like MSN, anywhere that you put a search term in, they're answer machines. So when you're doing an online search, a search engine scours billions of documents and it does two things. First, it returns only those results that are relevant or useful. Second, it ranks those results according to popularity of the website. So it is both relevance and popularity that the process of SEO is meant to influence. Now, what does this have to do with Facebook? What does this have to do with LinkedIn? Well, when you think about it, how many people are on Facebook versus doing a search on Google? How many people are on LinkedIn and have lots of data, lots of pictures, lots of documents, lots of stuff, and these search engines are continually ranking and scoring? So the fact that these two, and these, I'm just taking those two as an example, the fact that these two are out there and they have this massive data that the crawlers go in and they're continually being updated over and over, they are going to rank very high in popularity. And they're going to rank very high in relevance in a lot of ways, depending on what you're asking. So to a search engine, relevance means more than finding a page with the right words. In the early days of the web, search engines didn't go much further than this simplistic step of finding a page with the right words. And, of course, search engine results were of limited value. Now, sometimes I have some very out there searches that still come up with some searches that don't have a lot of relative value. But overall, smart engineers have devised better ways to match results to what you're looking for. So today, hundreds of factors include relevance, and we'll discuss the most important of these at a later time, because that could just take me all day long. And I'm kind of making this short and sweet for everybody. So basically, search engines typically assume that the more popular a site, a page, or a document, the more valuable the information it contains must be. This assumption has proven fairly successful in terms of user satisfaction with search results. And that's what they're all about, is keeping your business, keeping you using that search over and over and over again. So, Google is all about customer service. Bing is all about customer service. Internet Explorer is all about customer service. So, if you're not satisfied, you need to tell them. And then they'll start working harder to keep your business. All right? So, just a thing. We see them as being these multi-million dollar companies out there that are, you know, huge monsters, and they have hundreds of employees, but when it comes right down to it, if we're not using their service because we don't like what they're doing, they want to change because we are their customer, okay? So popularity and relevance aren't determined manually. Instead, the engines employ mathematical equations or algorithms to sort the wheat from the chaff, which is the relevance. And then they rank the wheat in order of popularity, which is basically the same as saying quality. Does that mean that it's foolproof? No, absolutely not. Does it mean that as a general rule they've gotten these algorithms down over the last 20-some years? Absolutely. And it is really hard, and I think this is what really makes SEO the monster in the room, is that when we hear algorithm and we hear hundreds of things that make it up, we go, how do I influence that? How can I make an impact and make sure I am there? You know, Google, if it's a king of the web, and if Bing is a decision engine, and how do I get more traffic? That's all I really want to know. How do I get more traffic? So there's a couple guides, and this is from to get better rankings in your search engine. Make sure that anything that you're posting out there is for a user. Don't try to deceive your user. Don't try to alter your content to fit search engine. They're going to know that. Believe me, they're going to know that. In fact, there's terms of it called cloaking, kind of like cloak and dagger, if you try to fool the crawler. So make sure that what you're putting out there is relevant to your audience, right? if you have a website, if you have a Facebook, if you have LinkedIn, make sure it has a clear hierarchy, meaning structure. So luckily, Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest, those have a structure that we follow just by default. They're designed for SEO optimization. But if you're doing a blog or you're doing a website, you need to make sure that it's clearly laid out and that you have text links. So a picture link is okay. So if you look at thecoachingchicks.com, you'll see on the front page there's a big splashy picture that says sign up here or a special deal. And I have SEO on that picture. So you have a title, you have a description, you have text that you don't see on that picture. But if I just had a picture without having any of that background text, I'm going to be ranked lower. Now, you always want to make sure also that you actually do have text links. So if I'm referring to a website, I'm going to make the name of that website a link. That's a text link. Okay, I'm going to connect it over to that website, that name. Make sure that every page is reachable from at least one static text link, meaning it's there on the page and you can refer to other pages on your site. So if you have about us and you have more information and you have a sales page, make sure that every site can link to all three of those pages. That's a static text link. Create a useful information site and write pages that accurately describe your content. What are you talking about? Make sure that your elements like your title and any other attributes are descriptive and accurate. They are looking for basic language. They don't want technical savvy language. They want you to say, this is Jim Bob's website and I am talking about customer satisfaction or service or whatever it is. Make sure that you are creating an information-rich site. Use keywords. Keywords, SEO, and keywords go hand in hand. A lot of times they get confused. Keywords create descriptive, human-friendly URLs. That's your website address. You want to provide one version of a URL to reach a document or a page, okay, which means, for instance, coachingchicks.com, www.thecoachingchicks.com/about-us. That is a keyword, about us, relating to the Coaching Chicks. And that is a human-friendly URL. You can remember that, you can see it, and know exactly where you are going. Okay, so don't try to be fancy. Don't throw weird things out there. The better your descriptions on your URLs, on your web pages, on your pictures, whether it's Facebook, LinkedIn, or a website, or Pinterest, or Who's, or whatever you're using, the better your SEO is going to be. All right, so if we go to Bing, which also has a great guideline, they also recommend a clean keyword-rich URL, which we just talked about. Make sure that your content is not buried inside rich media, which would be a JavaScript, Adobe Flash Player, or it's Ajax. Basically, that means that if you're running a video, you need a description, you need a title, and you need to make sure that that has keyword because the crawlers don't necessarily read a video. They'll read the description behind it, they'll read the title behind it, but if all you have is a fancy video, that's not going to gain you any points in the SEO game. Okay? You need keyword-rich content. Need to match keywords to what users are searching for. That's key right there. Make sure that they are looking for it. How do you know? Google has some great tools in the backside. I could talk about that all day long. You don't have to pay for them to get to some basic, what is a customer looking for? I also use another program called SiteSell, and there's a whole bunch of them out there that show what is the most popular search terms in your topic. If you provide those search terms, people are looking for them, guess what? You're going to pop up on their radar, right? And it needs to be refreshed. You need to have new content on a regular basis. Now, that's also subject to interpretation. What is regular basis? I say, if you can put something out there every day, perfect. If you put it out there 3 days a week, that's probably minimal. If you can only get to it once a week, maybe you could do it once a week and use a scheduler to enter information. Facebook has a scheduler. You can post, and a lot of the social media management that goes to Twitter, that goes to LinkedIn, that goes to your blog, WordPress, they all have scheduling functionality. So if you have 1 hour a week that you can spend, make sure that you schedule things to go out a number of times that week. In fact, for me, I do major scheduling, and I make sure I have something going out at least 3 times a week. I do that a couple weeks ahead. So all I have to do is check my Facebook or check my Twitter or check my LinkedIn for updates or for comments coming back to me. But the major heavy work is done one time. So use those scheduling functions, even if you feel like, oh, my God, I have no time to do anything else because I am pushed to the max. Trust me, I know what that feels like. So there are so many tools out there, and there are classes that are free, believe it or not. And one of those that I refer people to, if you want to know more about SEO, Moz.com, M-O-Z.com, has a beginner's guide to SEO that really talks about how to build a social media empire based on SEO. I could probably, oh my gosh, I could go on forever. But let me just cover one last thing of why SEO is important and why it's important to make your website easy for both users and search engine robots. Okay. And I may hear this once a week, I may hear it every month, but why would a search engine require a website to follow certain rules or principles in order to be ranked or indexed? Right? Anyone with half a brain would want a system that can crawl through any architecture, any amount of complex or imperfect code, and still find a way to return the most relevant results. Why do we have to optimize? Okay, imagine 20 plus years of internet, how many billions and billions of documents, pictures, thing out there, and then you try to rank it. You try to find the relevance, you try to find the quality. I really think that you have to have the structure. You have to have something that if you are jumping through the hoops and you are doing the right things, you're going to get rewarded at the top of a list of 10 million other websites. So think about this. If you posted online a picture of your family dog, so a human like you and I might describe it as a black, medium-sized dog, looks like a lab, playing fetch in the park. On the other hand, the best search engine in the world struggles to understand the photo is at anywhere near that level of sophistication. How do you make a search engine understand a photograph? So luckily, SEO allows webmasters to provide clues that the engine can use to understand content. And in fact, adding structure to your content is essential to SEO. So we want to allow search engines, we want to be top of our game, wear the top hat, eliminate the monster in the room, properly build, format, and annotate your web content so that search engines can digest it. I always say, if I've said it once, I've said it a million times, we are not the field of dreams here. You can build it. It does not necessarily mean they come. So you can build a website day in and day out, and if you had a list of 100,000 people, drive people to your website and get exposure, and you can have, you know, some success. The best success is when it is gained organically, when a website is visible and searchable by the search engine, and you can have people anywhere in the world find your materials and want to come back, right? That's the point of SEO, making sure your content and your name get seen. So forget the technical details. It's important to know, but basically you are marketing yourself and your content. A search engine is just a machine. It is a spider out there. To have relevance and importance to your customers, you need to make sure you're answering the questions that they are asking. And that you're sharing information that is shared again and then talked about. That's what the website is all about. That's what makes it useful. That's what makes it something that we want to spend our time on. All right. So, one last thing. SEO is always changing. And one of the monkeys in the room, or the monster in the room, or however you want to say it, is SEO is changing all the time, and it's hard to keep on top of it. So keep your basic tenets of simple, clean, content-rich information. Okay? Very important. When SEO first started, it was manual submission. It was the keyword tag. It was keyword stuffing. These were parts of the tactics necessary to rank well. Right? And then it moved off to, and trust me, that was heinous. It was a heinous thing to have to do to submit all of your information manually like that. So then in the early 2000s, we had anchor text, and we had buying hordes of links from blog comments, and we had interlinking all these kinds of websites, and those were levers for traffic. And some people made a killing because they figured out how to make that automatic. And then in 2011, social media marketing and what we call vertical search inclusion are the mainstream for doing search engine optimization. Okay. So what that means is the more connected you are to people and places and other groups, and the more that you are relevant to them, the more search engines love you. So now we are moving in a different direction. And what used to work can absolutely hurt your SEO now. And we don't know exactly where it's going. We just know that it is going to change. And it must be a priority for anyone who wishes to remain competitive on the web. And I know some people say that SEO is dead, or that SEO is spam. However, websites compete for attention and placement in search engines. And if you follow some basic knowledge and experience to improve your social media ranking, you will receive the benefits of increased traffic and visibility. That's what it comes down to, right there. Follow the basic steps. If you want to know more, we have some great coaching in our online marketing toolkit, talking about website building, getting indexed, SEO, SEO mistakes, all of that. You can always give us a call, thecoachingchicks.com, and sign up, call me, email me, ashley@thecoachingchicks.com, and I'll be more than happy to share and tell you what is available and what we can do. So until later, everyone, have a great day, enjoy it, and we will talk to you soon. Bye, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, push the safety bars up and exit the ride.